You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Corey Johnson and Carol Masser on Bloomberg Radio. If the rain comes,
they run and hide their heads. Yeah, we're washed out at the U.S. Open. We're not there, but we will be tomorrow. A little rain here in New York City. But at the Open is Michael Bright. He's partner in charge at Eisner Amper Sports and Entertainment Group, as we mentioned, on site at the U.S. Open over in Flushing Meadow, Queens. Michael, nice to have you here. We wish we were there with you. But, you know, technical equipment doesn't love all this rain. It makes it a little tricky for us. Tell us about you, your involvement, Eisner Amper, kind of in the world of sports and what you guys do, whether it's tennis, whether it's football, how you help other companies.
Well, we're one of the leading companies on the accounting, tax, and advisory side. We have do work with a lot of major sports leagues and teams, really from the ownership side. So audit of financial statements, due diligence, transactional work. When someone's looking to buy a team, we help them out doing the diligence. So a lot of project work and a lot of work, again, for all the teams and the leagues around the country.
So in terms of big sporting events, smart that the U.S. Open finally got a retractable roof.
And I'm extraordinarily excited about it because I'm a kid that grew up in Kew Garden Hills. We go from the West Side Tennis Club in Forest Hills over to Flushing Meadow, and now with an incredible retractable roof, and I really do think it's a work of art. And when you spend $150 million, well, you get what you pay for.
It is interesting because it's going to change the play. I mean, it's going to mean a lot of matches that weren't going to happen are going to happen when you get days like today.
That's right. I mean, you know, I remember years ago, you know, you talk about ticket brokers selling weather derivatives for the U.S. Open because they always had to keep concerned about the U.S. Open and the weather. And when Arlen Kantarian was at one time CEO of the Open, they got the incredible machines to wipe away the rain very, very quickly. So this has been in process for a long time. I think it's going to be a terrific, terrific boom for the U.S. Open and obviously for the fans who, you know, got concerned about getting washed out quite often.
What happens, you know, it's interesting that the U.S. Open, you know, we're in an Olympic year. We just got, you know, finished with the Olympics. Does that have any impact on kind of enthusiasm for the U.S. Open?
It does. I mean, I think the Olympics, you know, when you talk about the flags from all over the countries, there are a lot of sports that all of a sudden get a huge heightened awareness. And that really is in the gymnastics sense of what Simone did, Katie Ledecky now breaking all kinds of world records. So swimming has gotten a lot bigger. But, yeah, there is somewhat of a boon in tennis simply because it's a great time of year. And there's always, you know, any time of sports year in August, September, it's a beautiful time of year, unfortunately, except for today. But I think the weekend, you know, might be a great, great time to watch some great tennis.
Let's talk about these team valuations and how you guys do the math around that, because the valuations of every sports franchise, I think, has gone through the roof lately. And there's some, I'm sure someone's overpaying somewhere, but the numbers keep going up. I guess I pay most attention to the NBA because it's the sport I'm probably closest to. But how much is the valuation based on future media deals? You know, we talk about sort of the expiration of TV contracts and what the next contract's going to bring. And, you know, now we've got the NBA experimenting with putting logos on players' uniforms. You know, additional streams of revenue that aren't there, I'm curious how much that plays a part in team valuations.
It does play a tremendous part, and you're absolutely right. The logos was a three-year trial experiment that Adam Silver undertook, and I think it's extraordinarily innovative. And as you know, StubHub became the first sponsor of the patch with the Philadelphia 76ers, paying them around $5 million a year for 3 years. So we'll kind of look and see where that turns out. But you're absolutely right on the media deals. But more importantly, on the valuation side, Steve Ballmer changed the landscape of sports valuations when he purchased the Los Angeles Clippers for $2 billion. That basically said, I know I'm overpaying. I don't know to what degree I'm overpaying. But you know, you have to say that's kind of a vanity purchase. There are only 100 and less than 125 sports franchises in the four major sports around the country, and it's a limited pool, and it's a limited pool, obviously, to be in the Los Angeles market. So where you have valuations, which we always do based on, you know, cash flow multiples, income, market approaches, it has changed dramatically now because of what Ballmer did clearly in the NBA. And then when you look at the media rights in the NBA exploding, well, obviously, that's going to increase the valuation as well.
You know, Michael, Corey and I were just talking about a story about Amazon, which bought Twitch Interactive. 2 years ago for about $1 billion. And this is, you know, they've got what I think we talked about, an audience of what, 10 million daily users, you know, people watching other people play, you know, games. The whole idea of esports and competitive video gaming, are you guys getting involved in that?
We are. You know, we worked quite often with Major League Gaming. It was a client for us for a while. They were sold to Activision. They were the leaders, or one of the leaders, I should say, in esports. But I'm fascinated by the growth in esports right now, about how many people are so active in the, not only in the market, but worldwide. So it's a worldwide phenomenon. There are a lot of marketing companies, a lot of sports-related organizations now just coming on the bandwagon of esports, because it's all about the eyeballs. I mean, advertising is all about the eyeballs. There are more and more of the right demographic going into esports right now, so it's getting a lot of attention. And I'm personally fascinated by, you know, when you look at all of the social media valuation increases, you know, Yahoo being bought by Verizon, and what you know, they're doing in sports, what Snapchat is doing with the NFL now. You know, they have a sponsorship deal with the NFL. So you're seeing a lot of social media being, you know, higher revenue deals in the major sports nowadays. Even IBM Watson is getting involved in the U.S. Open in an API, which is a program interface where customers at the U.S. Open could say, where can I get a soda, or where can I get a taxi cab? And by cognitive program solutions, you'll be able to get an answer. So I find that incredibly fascinating, how social media is really impacting the world of sports and really on rapidly right now.
So is that the additional revenue stream we're talking about then? Is that the sort of the thing that squares the numbers for these high prices? Is valuation being the teams getting value, getting revenues from social media?
I think it's clearly the media rights, but it's all of the visual revenue. So can you add all of the social media revenue into that pot? You certainly can. And where that's going, no one knows right now, but everyone knows that, you know, it's an increasing pie. It's an increasing pie to get those eyeballs, whether through social media or local media rights. But what has been driving it in the last few years clearly has been the local media rights, especially in the bigger markets where they're seeing these bigger local radio, local cable deals.
Listen, Michael, nice to have you here with us. Really appreciate, you know, your thoughts on what's going on here, certainly in the world of sports, and have fun at the Open. Michael Bright, he is partner in charge at Eisner Amper Sports and Entertainment Group, on site at the U.S. Open. You can find out more about Eisner Amper and their work at Eisner Amper on Twitter. All right, coming up next, everybody, we're going to talk a little bit about Apple fighting the EU tax crackdown. Taint over. We'll get to that in just a moment. You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage. Carol Masser, along with Corey Johnson. This is Bloomberg.